What's up, y'all? It's Thomas Houck, and you're listening to Breakfast with the Gators.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. Thank you for joining us, and if you're here for the first time, welcome. Tell your family and friends as we ramp up towards the start of the football season, just over 2 weeks away now by the time you're listening to this. This isn't your typical podcast, six different personalities when our schedules allow, just three of us tonight, Devin Connell, Sam Graveline, and myself, Jackson Raymer. All six of us graduates of the University of Florida and diehard fans. So this is the podcast for you. Coming to you on a Wednesday night. Dev, how are you doing?
Doing good, man. There's been some technical issues, some speaking issues, which isn't good for a podcast. So glad we could get this thing rolling. Glad we got promoted to personalities, podcast personalities now, Sam.
That's big. I mean, it's big. You know, we got the big three here tonight, but soon all six of us will reunite, and I'm sure that will be for a fun episode. To you know, that's to me, that's just like the unofficial kickoff of, you know, Florida Gator season when the six Breakfast with the Gators boys do their season preview. That's just like, we're here.
Yeah, in a saturated podcasting market, we got to stick out a little bit. So. If you guys are following us, have been following us, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG, and we greatly appreciate all the support. But tonight, we're going to just dive into our kind of five keys to success this year for the Gators. I believe Vegas has got the over-under at 7.5, and we're aiming towards that more 8-9 win mark. Dev, I'll kick it to you. What's one of your keys to success this season for the Florida Gators?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to have to go right to win 8 or 9 games this year. Obviously, year ones are always weird. We're coming into the season with a quarterback competition. But one of the things that I think that you should expect to see different with a defensive-minded head coach coming in is how the team plays situationally on defense. I think one of the biggest complaints that we had as fans watching Billy Napier coach teams and quite frankly, teams coached by defensive coordinators that haven't coached in this league before, between Patrick Toney and Austin Armstrong, the prior staff, was defenses that didn't play aggressive. And I think that that's one of the things that is going to be a hallmark of Sumrall. It's something that you've seen from him at Tulane and Troy before he got here. It's something that you certainly saw from Brad White while he was at Kentucky, was how those defenses play on third down specifically, getting off the field. That's something that we struggled at. You know, all of us watched Florida football for the last however many years, but especially under Billy Napier, you saw a team in 2025 that finally bottomed out in third down defense. They were ranked 117th in the country. And that's something that I think that this newly infused energy that you're going to see from Brad White and John Sumrall, I think that that's something that can lead directly to wins on the field. If your team's getting off the field on third down, if you have guys stepping up, like a Miles Graham in the middle of the defense. We've heard a lot about the inside linebackers and obviously how important they are throughout fall camp. So I'm looking out for that as the season gets going and hopefully seeing marked improvement there so that we're not sitting in December and looking at another defense that ranked, you know, in the 110s on third down.
Well, I know our first opponent, Florida Atlantic, it's easy to overlook them and Campbell before we go on the road at Auburn. But Florida Atlantic, under Zach Kuechly, I think this is his second year. Last year, his first year at Florida Atlantic, led the country in 80 snaps per game. He was, I believe, the offensive coordinator at Western Kentucky, or the head coach maybe. I'm not 100% sure. When Bailey Zappe threw for all those yards, eventually got drafted by the New England Patriots. So you're going to get a nice test. I know the talent might not be there for the Owls. But certainly scheme-wise, tempo-wise, we're going to get to see a little bit different pace of play September 5th in the Swamp. And it's going to be a pretty big test to see how the Gators can get off the field. I think we were one of the bottom third teams in the country last year in terms of opponents' time of possessions. 80 plays is a lot. I think the Gators were in that 65 mark last year offensively. Sam, what do you think about the defense as a whole and situationally?
Yeah, I mean, like you were mentioning, FAU, just their offensive prowess, at least on paper and statistics, I think it's definitely a good test out of the gate. But we should be able to obviously see, you know, our talent prevail from, you know, their scheme or their pace or however many plays they're trying to run. You'd like to think that's a good early opportunity for the defense to settle in against a good offense, but, you know, show that they have game-changing ability, make plays, make the right plays. In terms of third down, I mean, it's so important to get off the field. And I think, you know, we're talking about Billy Napier, but, you know, go back to, I hate to say it, but, you know, third and Grantham and all of your time, you know, along third down, and you just couldn't rely on the defense to get off the field, which is one thing. And then secondarily, when they do pick up those long third downs or even a third down in general, a very important one, it's momentous. It's backbreaking sometimes when you give up those third downs like that. So, and then alternatively, to be able to be good on third down on defense, get off the field, get the ball back into the hands of this offense, which now, you know, we have a legitimate play caller, many skilled weapons. You know, you want to be able to give them as many chances as you can with the rock in their hands. So getting off the field, it's imperative. It's super crucial. And, you know, we should have a good test early, at least FAU with their you know, skill. Campbell, you know, wouldn't surprise me if they fumbled on their first snap, knock on wood. First series, you know, let me give them a little credit there. But, you know, you should be able to, you know, handle that. And then obviously, first game road test, Auburn, mobile quarterback, you know, to show your patience and your ability. So I think it can set the stage for the defense to really make an impression early. But like I said, I think it's to what we think we have on offense, barring quarterback, very important to get the rock in their hands as many times as we can, especially with Buster calling the plays.
Yeah, and I think that the schedule sets up really nicely for the defense and the offense. But the way that you kind of have those couple of tune-up games to work towards Auburn, and by the way, obviously it's been talked about a lot, but it's a familiar coach, familiar quarterback at Auburn, a guy that we saw last year in the Swamp, came in here and won at USF last year. And talking about the third down defense and how backbreaking it can be to not get off the field, I think USF's both of their go-ahead touchdowns in the second half of last year's game against Byron Brown and Alex Golish were on third downs. They had like a 66-yard go-ahead touchdown on third and five, and I think the second touchdown that they had in the second half was also on the third down, not as long of a play. But regardless, getting off the field on third down is something that obviously every team preaches that. Every team says that you have to be able to get off the field to have success. But it's an apples-to-apples look with same quarterback, same coach, early in the season again. USF went 6 of 16 on third down against us last year, and I think that that's a good barometer. That's going to be a team that's got more talent than USF had last year. I know a lot of those same players came along with Golish to Auburn. But going on the road, one of the most difficult environments in the league, that's going to be a matchup. That's going to be a game. That's going to be a game within the game, how our defense gets off the field on third down. That's going to dictate a lot of our success in that game and then a lot of our success going forward this season.
Yeah, that first month, you got Ole Miss coming to town in the September slate with Trinidad Chambliss, Keewon Lacy. We know that obviously Lane Kiffin and Charlie Wise Jr. are gone, but really first four games, three of the four games are going to kind of set the stage for how the defense handles themselves with some bigger opponents later in the season at Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma come to the Swamp. So a real good test defensively early. Now, obviously, we mentioned quarterback play, but I think, you know, Shane Matthews was on the pod last week discussing, you know, maybe it wasn't all the offensive line's fault last year in terms of the sacks or maybe the turnovers and the quarterback getting rid of the ball. I think three returners, two starters, and then we had four transfers, two of them with real starting experience. Obviously, I think we added that other guard from Penn State. Sam, what's your take on the offensive line and how I think we got five guys right now. We don't really know who those five guys are going to be and their success in terms of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a massive proponent of how this team shapes out offensively. And I think with the lack of unknown of the names, I do still think we have some underlying confidence that it can be, you know, above average with Troutline and obviously Buster being able to, you know, call plays to maybe try to eliminate some of the deficiencies. I do feel very confident just from what we're hearing of Harrison Moore, assuming that's your starting center, and TJ Shanahan next to him at one of the guard positions. That does give me a lot of confidence just of their familiarity with the two coaches. So hopefully, you know, the other players who are around them can be, you know, just do their job, especially at tackle. But yeah, I'm more in it's looking at the offense as a whole. Obviously, we know Jaden Baugh is an incredible running back. But you still have to be able to block for him. Make sure, because some you mentioned some of the, you know, offenses that we're going to be playing for the third down defense. It's similar to that for the O-line. Like when we're playing, you know, when Pete Golden's calling plays against us, when Brett Venables, Kirby Smart, they're going to try to eliminate the run game 100%. And, you know, they're still going to make the quarterback beat us, you know, if you will. So to me, it's still going to be very imperative that the offensive line can play well in the run game, open up some holes for 13, let him do the rest. And then that's in turn should increase, you know, maybe the play action passing game more, and we can, you know, block well up front there. So that's just kind of what I'm looking for the offensive line, just to play above serviceable, you know, if you will. We've had some pretty bad offensive lines, you know, over the last decade. So just do your job, you know, keep it clean for the quarterback, but more importantly, make sure at least our bread and butter being Jaden Baugh, make sure he's able to do what he can do.
And also anchoring that interior will be Najee Harris, who started the last 25 games at left guard for us. So I think we've got it figured out in the interior with Harris, who's played in this league, played against the Georgias, the Texases, the LSUs, and then obviously Harrison Moore, who was the anchor of that Georgia Tech offensive line. I think only allowed 9 sacks last year. Certainly helps when you got the mobility of Haynes King and, you know, him be able to be elusive in the pocket. I don't think we quite have that in terms of mobility at the quarterback position. Then TJ Shanahan coming along with Phil Troutline. Dev, what's your take on the O-line play and their success to the Gators offense?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in the interior offensive line at this point in camp. Like, I think that Shane talked on Sunday night when he came on about how important Harrison Moore was at center. Obviously, he's on the preseason award watch list and everything. And I think that between him, Shanahan, and Harris, you have a pretty solid interior offensive line. And then a little bit of depth behind them, too. You have Rod Kearney. You have Bryce Lovett can kind of be a swing inside and outside guy. The place where I think the biggest question marks remain are obviously at the tackle positions, and those are the guys that can get your quarterback hurt. And that's the part that scares you a little bit when you're trying to figure out how these tackle pieces fit together, whether it's the Penn State transfer Boyer or Igorgie, or if it ends up being Lovett or Caden Jones, whoever it is at the tackle spots, how they mesh with your interior guys and how they're able to communicate and start working together. I think at this point in camp, I think camp ends this week, and next week they technically start their game week prep. So to get to this point in camp, I think it's time for that offensive line to start getting settled and start working together, because like you said, they're going to see some coaches that do funky stuff with their defensive fronts. And the communication and those guys having some time to work together and gel and get their communication right before the season starts. I think that's really important. So hopefully that's something that they're shoring up. I don't know what to think about the left and right tackle job competitions that have been going on. Didn't really get much out of the scrimmage from what I've read and heard about who it is that's taking the steps to take the lead in those races. But as far as the interior offensive line goes, I'm starting to feel pretty confident in Moore, Harris, and Shanahan. And I like the depth altogether. I think that they have the bodies, and it's a matter of trusting that Troutline and the staff are going to get the best out of them this year with what they're working with.
Yeah, I agree. And I know when we had Edgar Thompson on the show, another key piece of success during the Spurrier days, Urban Meyer, which really has been eliminated in the three phases of our game the last 10, 15 years, is the special teams unit. Greg McMahon joining as an analyst, longtime Saints special teams coordinator, was at LSU. was that with John Sumrall for a year at Tulane, maybe both years. He joined the staff along with Jonathan Galante, who is the special teams coordinator coming over from Tulane. We've talked about starters playing in the return game, going after kicks, blocking punts. We obviously saw Vernell Brown in some of the breakout he had a little bit last year in the return game. I think the Gators were 125th in kickoff return yards last year, though, Tulane 28th. So maybe a little bit different dynamic strategy that Galante McMahon can provide for the Gators this year. Sam, what's your overall take on just special teams, the impact they can provide? Just quick rundown of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to harp on it more. I'm obviously, you know, a special teams guy. But, yeah, when Edgar was on and he was very complimentary of Galante, that definitely kind of got me fired up a little bit just because play your best players. Why not? Have them make a play. I know we talked about it, you know, a few episodes ago. Just when you put those skill guys out there, you just are increasing the chance of something going your way to happen, in my opinion, especially on, you know, punt returns, punt kick, you know, have a gunner go down there, try to create some havoc. But it's important. I mean, it can absolutely, you know, swing momentum in a game, turn a game on its head with, you know, a big return, a blocked kick. Yeah, I just think it's going to be super important. Really excited to see hopefully a fresh look. No need to make any jokes about having 11 guys on the field or the two people wearing number three or
all the snaps, the result in a safety and you lose by 2 points.
All the atrocities that we have seen. And then, you know, obviously you just want to see the kicker make the kicks at the end of the day. But I'm excited to see what the special teams unit can do and just provide, you know, make a play every game or so that can maybe really swing momentum our way and help us, you know, margin between, you know, win and loss.
And speaking of the kicker, I know that Sumrall said that they had the backup kick during the scrimmage, and I think he went 4 of 6. But Patrick Durkin, the kid they brought in from Tulane, I guess he got banged up a little bit, but he should be fine. He's a Lou Groza Award watch list preseason guy this year. He was an American Special Teams Player of the Year last year. And a Phil Steele All-American honorable mention last year. He went 25 of 28 on field goals, 4 of 6 from 50-plus yards, and 41 of 42 on extra points. So a solid kicker coming in. That should be a part of the special teams unit that's reliable all season. Hopefully he's healthy and stays healthy throughout the season.
Yeah, he's a very good kicker, going to be one of the best kickers out on campus, and hopefully he's very good enough and the rest of the team is good enough that when he comes on the field for a field goal, we don't have to chant his name.
No more Eddie chants.
I couldn't imagine as a person that would I'd be shanking everything. But regardless of the point, he's a very good kicker. He should make a lot of kicks, but hopefully we don't see him too often. And you know, whenever we need those 3 points from him, he comes up in the clutch.
Devin, I think the most the hardest watch under the Billy Napier era, and even in the last year of the Dan Mullen tenure, was the Gators away from Gainesville. I think the last 31 games, and somebody can fact check me, I quickly did this before the show, 6-25 for Florida outside of Gainesville the last 4 and 5 years, I guess. Six road games this year. We only get 6 games in the Swamp, a lot on the road, a few hostile environments. You know, we struggle at Missouri and Columbia. Usually that's a November game. We get it in early October, so maybe it's not 35 degrees this go around. We go to Kentucky in November where we've struggled. We go back to Austin. We got Georgia in Atlanta, which is almost a de facto home game. I know Atlanta's got a large Gator alumni base. It's only a 5-hour drive from the campus. So you still will get a lot of orange and blue, but still being in Atlanta, you expect a lot of red and black. And then obviously
that's a bad sign that Al starts barking when you start talking Florida, Georgia, if you're into signs.
That might just be the thunder and lightning outside that he hates.
He had to get a takeoff.
Yeah, what's it going to take to go on the road, wake up, and actually be competitive in a road environment, Dev?
Well, it'll help that we have a head coach that's awake, has a little bit of juice and fire about him. Hopefully that juice and that fire kind of translates to the team and they look interested in playing away from home. Obviously, over the last 4 years, the staff – you have a coach that sleeps in and the team sleeps in, and that's kind of how they played. He just you kind of have to go into these road games like it's us against the world. We know all about that. We went to Salt Lake City together. Yeah. We knew that it was us against the world, but the staff didn't. And I don't think that we're going to have that problem with John Summerall. Like he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to go into a Auburn. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to go into Death Valley or Texas A&M or Texas or wherever we go and play on the road and not have juice with him when he comes. So I think that a lot of playing on the road is mindset. I think it's the same as defense. You go in wanting to say F you to the 90,000 people that are there booing you. And I don't know that we had that the last 4 years, and the personality that our coach has, I get the feeling that he will embrace those types of environments and those types of games. So hopefully that's what it takes. I think that his success as a head coach has reflected that. So
he's 19-9 and his stops at Troy and Tulane, so combined 4 years, 19-9 on the road. I guess you can include neutral sites in that as well. But five of those games against SEC opponents, three of them Ole Miss, twice Oklahoma, and he also had Kansas State maybe once. So he was 19-3 against opponents that were on a level playing field, let's say.
Did they beat Duke in Duke last year?
Was it last year? Because they took his quarterback and he went and beat him, correct?
Yeah. Let's see if that was in – sorry, go ahead. I'll find out if that was in Durham.
No, but while you're looking for that, DC, like I think there is something to be said in the feeling as a fan when your team goes on a road game and takes over a game. You know, it just really shows who you are as a program, in my opinion, and we've missed it. And, you know, the last Gator game I went to, which is a travesty in its own right, but it was the Utah game at Utah. And we went 3-and-out, and then they dropped a 70-yard touchdown or whatever on our head. And
with the third-string quarterback, yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, this might get ugly. So you don't want to feel that, and especially I think we know it when there's a big home game in the Swamp, when you can go out and score early, or, you know, if the away team gets the ball first, goes 3-and-out, and you score on that drive, it's massive. So, and I think that kind of goes to what we were talking about earlier, third down stops. That's going to be huge early in those road games. But yeah, I mean, just play with some pride on the road, man. Like, you go in there, us against the world. And like I was just saying, like, there's no better feeling. I can't imagine the feeling, you know, as a player, you know, when you go in there and, you know, as the kids say, walk in your trap, take over your trap. I think that might be the kids or Kirk Cousins, but it's neither here nor there, you know. Let's go win some road games.
Dad and I went to Florida, Tennessee, Mullen's first season. And I think that's one of my favorite games of all time. I think we hung 48 on them that night. And just the feeling of going into somebody else's stadium, whether it's Auburn or Tennessee or whoever, and winning, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, we spend a lot of hard-earned money. Sam, I know you're in Arizona, so it's tougher for you to travel. If you do want to come to a game, it's usually to Gainesville. But Dev, Hunter, Jake, and Will and I, you know, we go around to a stadium or two each year in the SEC to go watch the Gators play, and it has been heartbreaking. It's been brutal. It's been zero fun the last, I guess, half decade at this point of, you know, all the excitement and energy we can bring to an opposing team's town. A lot of excitement, and then once the game is kicked off, it's 60 minutes of hell, essentially, so... hopefully, Summerall brings that attitude that he's had, the success he's had at Tulane and Troy, back to Gainesville, and we can win away from home. All right, Dev, I know we've talked about the weapons we've got offensively. We've talked a little bit about the offensive line in the last few episodes. Just overall health and depth that we have on this team, I think that's really going to lead to our success. Kind of feels like we've had the injury bug as well. I swear, what is it, Tuesday or Wednesday night, they come out with the SEC injury report now that you have to release, and ours is loaded with 15 guys every week, it feels like, while our opponent's got one or two, and most likely no impactful players, while ours has got multiple starters. What key pieces do you see that need to stay healthy? And then which positions do you feel like we have a little bit of depth where, all right, maybe one guy missing a week here, a week there is not going to kill us?
Well, I'm not going to say any of the positions won't kill us because I don't want to put that into the universe. So The biggest one, though, I think, is the corners. I think that you feel good about Ben Hanks, Cormani McClain, Jabari Flowers, Dijon Johnson's there, but we don't know how healthy he is. So I think that that's a position where you have four guys that you know that's gotten good experience that have looked good when they've played, and the hope is that they can stay healthy and you don't have to see what's behind them. I think that you got talented guys in that room, but you know how it can be when, you know, you go from having four guys out there that have good SEC experience that are experienced corners going up against SEC wide receivers. And then when a young guy gets thrown into that mix, that can be a bad recipe, especially against some of the offenses that we're going to play against in the league. But the position that I'm feeling the best about, I think, is that front seven. I really like, obviously, Myles Graham, but I think that you've kind of started to hear some comments from Summerall about Aaron Chiles and how he's looking. And I think that you've started to hear some more about some of these younger guys in that linebacker room, the Miles Johnsons and the Ty Jacksons of the world. You still have Jaden Robinson. And I think that room is the deepest on the team. I think that's kind of the heartbeat of your defense on any defense. And I hope that room, its depth shows as the year goes on. Because I to be honest with you guys, all the talk about the quarterback and the offensive line and everything, I think we're going to have a really good defense. I really do. I think that you're going to find that pass rusher starting to emerge. I think you're going to be able to stop the run with this linebacker core. And I feel good about the corners. So I think the biggest question mark on defense is your safeties. And, you know, you have experience there. You have guys that have played. So I'm high on the defense. I'm high on the depth that we have on that side of the ball. Want to see everybody stay healthy and then play at their best all season. So I'm not going to pontificate on where we can afford an injury or two. But I do think that side of the ball is poised to have a big breakout year, even though it's year one under Summerall.
Yeah, and staying healthy is crucial, especially, you know, in the trenches, I would say, more importantly, defensively and offensively. But, yeah, I mean, you were mentioning it, Raymer, the injury reports last year. I think toward the end of the season, we were having to shrink the font because there were so many players on there. We had to fit them all in there. That was when the season was already lost cause, but hopefully we never have to see anything like that again. But, yeah, you just got to stay healthy, you know. And with the depth, the thing I'd be looking for most is just not type of like drop off, you know, when you have different players out there, you want to see them continuing to make the same type of plays. Granted, you know, maybe not to the same level of, you know, a Myles Graham, a Jaden Woods, when maybe someone else is getting a couple reps in there, but don't make a mistake, especially like you were mentioning, Devin, like with the cornerback depth maybe being a little iffy, but we don't know who it's going to be. As long as they can stay healthy, just, you know, next man up mentality, continue to make the plays. Cause, you know, I mean, we've all watched football, you know, a new defensive back gets on the field. Usually they're going to get picked on more times than not, at least the first couple of plays. And if you make a play, they'll stop throwing at you. But I think roster wise, we all know that there's a lot of talent there, which comes with some good depth. And, you know, you got to keep guys happy in this day and age of college football. So, you know, rotate them in a little bit, but, you know, you got to perform at the end of the day. So yeah, I would say that's just, you know, health the ball above all. And I think offensively our depth is just as good, as Devin was kind of mentioning on the front seven. I mean, everybody talks about this wide receiver room and, you know, we got the big three in there, but there's other guys in that room that can make plays. A couple guys behind Jaden Ball, you know, Duke Clark's been apparently very good. And that Evan Pryor guy can absolutely fly. So, you know, you're going to see them get their hands on the ball here and there too. So just want to see minimal drop off. If, you know, someone does go down with an injury, you know, next man up. And, you know, we got a lot of players on campus that can make some plays. So hopefully when their number's called, they can perform.
Did you see Evan Pryor's comments about coming to Florida this week?
No, I don't think I did.
Hey, Dev, I don't know if you saw it. Help me out here. I think I just saw a quick tweet about it a few days ago, but basically, you know, he had options at other schools to start and play and get, I don't know, 20, 25 carries a game. But he said that really doesn't fit who he is and really wanted to come to Florida and kind of complement a little bit of Jaden Ball's game. So I don't know if he's more of that receiving back that we can find on third downs. Maybe he provides a little bit more explosion when he gets his touches. But I was pretty cool comment to hear from Evan Pryor about him wanting to be a Gator and come here and play alongside Jaden Ball.
Yeah, I think he said that he doesn't need 20 or 25 touches a game to be productive, which, yeah. I mean, when you have the thunder already in the backfield as you're starting running back, having a couple of the lightning-type backs that, you know, they're one cut and go is something that you're going to need.
Yeah, like Duke Clark, I think they said last year he was the fastest player on the team. We've heard some chatter about him this fall camp and spring, about his fitness. What was that, Deb?
Hopefully he stays healthy. I know that he was banged up a little bit. It sounds like he's back now, but
yeah,
that's kind of something to watch. When you're in a battle for who's going to be the number two running back, it doesn't help to miss half of fall camp.
Which it's kind of unusual to say in a first-year coach and the portal and, you know, some of the guys that we've lost last year, whether it's a senior or the NFL, this team has got some depth. Now, how playable is it? That's going to be another story that they're figuring out during this fall camp. But on paper right now and from what the coaches are saying, it seems like the two deep has got some real good players. And I think that front seven, again, I hope the depth is there. I just hope we don't rotate our best players out. It feels like some of these coordinators we've had in the past, our best players are taken off the field in the biggest moments of the game where they're playing out of position. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen under Brad White, who's developed a lot of really good pass rushers in his career at Kentucky. Obviously, John Summerall, being on that side of the ball as a coach, understands the importance of having your best players out there on third down and passing situations to get to the quarterback, which alleviates some of that pressure in the back end. So I'm pretty excited all around about the Gators.
Yeah, the talent's there, you know, and we've known that. It's just been a matter of who's got the headset on, and we're cautiously optimistic, but it's nothing against Summerall and the staff. It's just we don't know any better, right? Like we've been scarred in the past. So we're excited, you know, to see the team. And just to comment, and you mentioned Evan Pryor's comments, like, I don't need 20 touches to show my production. That's pretty sick.
There was another player, God, what'd he say about him just wanting to be a Florida Gator and how much he loves UF. And I think that was another reason why he decided to come here. Grew up a Gator, maybe. Maybe TJ Shanahan. Was that the clip?
Yeah. His cousin is John Jalapio.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is a starter on those national championship teams with Phil Trautwein.
Yep.
So, and you know,
talking about how Trautwein, even when they were at Penn State together, he would always talk about how much he loved Florida and how he always rooted for their success.
Yeah, and we saw Todd Golden speak with the football team, I think last week, Florida Victorious, and the Gator football page posted a few clips. But Todd was talking about the success he has is bringing guys in that want to be Gators that might not be the most heavily recruited players, but their personalities and them wanting to be at the University of Florida and wearing that orange and blue. Seems like Summerall's got a little bit of in his playbook as well, bringing Pryor and Shanahan, helps Shanahan come up Phil Trautwein, but still good to see these guys wanting to play for the Gators despite our struggles in recent seasons.
We got some legitimate frontline dudes. Like, it's really hard to like guess what a team's going to look like in the first season. But when you have Jaden Ball, when you have Vernell Brown, when you have Dallas Wilson, when you have Eric Singleton, when you have Jaden Woods, when you have Miles Graham, at a certain point, you're like, man, we got some talent. Like,
and you got Brennan Bett, Jeremiah McLeod up front, Jamari Lyons.
Like, everybody in the league has those types of guys. No disrespect, obviously. But, like, when you're talking about the five-star, you know, these guys are going to be top-line draft picks, everybody's going to have kind of that baseline replacement-level type player. But there's some legitimate stars on this team. Obviously, a guy like Jaden Woods that you've heard about a couple offseason in a row now and that has to step up and become that double-digit sack guy. But if these guys do take that step that you kind of expect to see in year two and year three as collegiate players, I mean, even like a Cormani McClain that had some big intercept. He had a huge interception against Miami last year that people forget about because the offense was just so bad and they couldn't take advantage of it. That was a six-point game in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
And Cormani got an interception in the second half that put us on the plus side of the field with a chance to take the lead. And the team that finished second in the country last year lost the national championship game on the road. So like there's talent on this team, and I think that's what kind of keeps you coming back if you're a Gator fan this year, is knowing that those guys are on this roster still, and maybe they weren't being utilized in the best way possible under the last 4 years with the last staff, and kind of that hope that you have that changes this year.
Yeah, great point, Dev. And guys, this is kind of our five keys to success we believe that'll help the Gators get that 8-9 win into a pretty respectable bowl. A great start in the John Summerall era. If you get to that 8-win mark, 9 in the regular season will be a cherry on top, and then obviously a bowl win to continue that momentum into the offseason. So put in the comments, tweet at us if you got any different opinions. Obviously the quarterback position is most important, but we really don't know who's going to be that day one QB1 for us, and that might change before the Auburn game with the opponents we have week 1 and week 2. They might try them out like we've seen in previous quarterback battles. But quick thing, Gators released the uniform schedule. I know we kind of hit on it. Sam, any thoughts on 4 blue helmets this season for the Gators?
Yeah. Where's Will? I haven't had any comment on his kind of outrage. I'm of the obviously, like, yes, we have some of the best uniforms ever, but it doesn't really matter to me what we wear. Just win. I don't mind the blue helmets that much. I think some of the combinations, we are getting a little crazy, but it is what it is. And I don't mind the all whites with the blue helmets going to FSU. I actually kind of like that look a little bit. But yeah, I mean, he's switching it up. There's a lot of takes to be said about the uniforms amongst this fan base, but just win. That's kind of my stance on it. So, but I'm excited for the throwback uniforms, of course. Those are going to be sick. And first brought to the people by our very own Devin Connell. So it's huge for the brand, if you will. But yeah, the blue helmets, you know, maybe as long as it brings some wins, that's all I really care about at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a family show, so I won't repeat exactly what Coach Summerall said. But essentially, I don't care what they wear as long as they win. That being said, I am a uniform traditionalist, and I do think I'm going to miss the big game blues with the orange helmet. When they come,
those are definitely one of my favorites, especially
when they come trotting out against Oklahoma in that game. I think that'll be the one where I'm like, I wish that we were wearing our normal big game blues. But other than that, I'm fine with it. Let's just go roll the ball out, spot the ball, if you will, and let's go win some ball games.
Yeah, I think just 13 days before this, or 15 days before the season starts, we just need to get the ball kicked off. We've had way too much talk recently about different things in the fall camp, now the uniforms. But we appreciate you guys joining. If this is your first time, make sure you're subscribed, following us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Again, we got Todd Golden coming on, standalone interview, August 24th, Monday night. Still deciding if we're going to do that live or not. If not, it'll be dropped shortly after. So make sure you're subscribed and you get that notification. We appreciate you guys joining, and we'll see you guys again next week. Go Gators.
Go Gators. Go Gators.